Jared and the GM live out at Bridgestone Arena. Chris be going to join us in 30 minutes, but we are hanging out, and we're on two different watches today, two developing stories, Floyd Reese. I think I'd be a great newscaster, by the way, with my use of breaking news and my use of developing stories.
Okay.
So the first developing story we have is Jokerit of the KHL. We are still following their game. They are still tied, to the best of my knowledge, at 1-1. And again, if Jokerit wins, yes, they are still tied at 1-1. If Jokerit wins, then it will delay the arrival of Ellie Tolvin into the Predators. If Jokerit loses, then they are out, and then the Predators can start negotiating a contract with Ellie Tolvin and to sign his entry-level deal to come here and suit up for the Predators. The other developing story that we're following, and we're still waiting on some clarity, is the when it's going to all come down is Ndamukong Suh. And Ndamukong Suh has visited the Saints, he has visited the Rams, he has visited the Titans, and I think he canceled his visit with the Raiders, if I am correct.
Correct.
And supposedly Seattle's in the mix somewhere because he's from the Pacific Northwest. So let's just say, for argument's sake, again, I'm kind of against Ndamukong Suh and the Titans, but he does have the potential to be a great player. Sometimes he makes plays where you watch him and you're thinking, my God, how did a grown man make that play? And then there's other times where you go a whole half or a game without hearing his name, and you're like, I thought that was Ndamukong Suh, this dominant defensive player. But I was kind of looking at the 2012 Ravens defense with Dean Pease, because that is the team that won the Super Bowl. And that team, that year, I looked at their starters. And I look at their defensive starters, and they've got some really good players on that team. They've got, in my mind, like, I think, what, three great defensive, four maybe? Haloti Ngata, great defensive player.
Okay.
Ray Lewis, great defensive player.
Okay.
Terrell Suggs, great defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Reed, great defensive player. Four great defensive players. I mean, my guess is three of those guys are going to be in the Hall of Fame. Lewis, Suggs, and Reed. And I wouldn't be surprised if Ngata got in, too, because Ngata has been a really good player for a long time.
I don't think Ngata or Suggs.
You don't think Suggs will get in the Hall of Fame?
No.
See, he's been playing for like 15 years.
No, I don't care.
Oh, I don't know, man. Suggs is...
That's just me.
Okay, but four good players. Other guys there, Kerry Williams was a decent player for a little bit. Bernard Pollard was a decent player. And then a lot of guys, you know, that you haven't heard much from. Courtney Upshaw. What's he been up to lately? I don't know. Albert Jones. Don't know. Makea Kiamoitu, the nose tackle. Now, just a bunch of random guys outside of those four really good players. Ngata, Suggs, Lewis, Reed.
Which year was this?
2012, Super Bowl year. So they won the Super Bowl 2012 with that team. Dean Pease, defensive coordinator. Let's say Sue is in the mix here. You've got Sue, Casey, Arakpo, Byard, Butler, Ryan, Jackson. And that's not counting Derek Morgan, who I don't think is really that good of a player. You would have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 good players on defense. If you add Sue to the mix, with the same defensive coach, Dean Pease coaching them. So how nasty, how good, how dominant could the Titans' defense be this upcoming season with Dean Pease as coordinator if they get Ndamukong Suh and they have all these good players on the defense?
Well, I mean, Suh will come in and everybody will get a little bit better because of him. And now, does that mean they'll all be great? No, it doesn't. But, I mean, Casey will be the first one to benefit from him. And then depending on what they do with him, the linebackers will benefit. But, you know, you don't bring in Sue and you don't have Jarrell Casey to two-gap them. And so, you know, you're going to put them in a position where they can make plays and the other guys are going to have to, you know, kind of fend for themselves. And then I think you change things up if, in fact, those guys aren't making plays. But I would be shocked if they didn't make plays.
Okay, well, if they have Sue and Casey, back to your point about how it makes everybody better, again, I think the secondary's got four good players there. Byard, Butler, Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson. How much better does it make Jackson and Butler and Ryan if Sue and Casey are getting after the quarterback. So now, instead of the quarterback having 3.5 seconds back there, he's got 3 seconds to throw the ball. And he's got to rush his decision. And the routes have to be shorter. And they have to try to establish a running game. And they can't do what Tom Brady did last year in the playoffs and just sit back there. What Jimmy Garoppolo did when you played them in San Francisco and he just sat back there. He can't do that. That makes every single person on the defense better if Sue is that good. And that makes me think the Titans could have a top defense in the NFL next year.
Wow.
Not the top, but a top. Like a top five defense next year.
I mean, where were they this year? They were like 10 something, weren't they?
The Titans defense, let me pull that up.
Wasn't it? I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think there's any doubt but that they'll improve. Now, you have to keep this in mind. The offense is going to have a dramatic effect on that defense.
Based on how much time they're out there?
Yes, and we don't know what the offense is going to be. But, I mean, if you ask that group that you just mentioned to play, you know, 35 minutes a game, they're not going to be very good. Now, if that group that you just mentioned goes 25 minutes a game, they probably have a chance to be pretty good.
The Titans last year were 13th in the league in total defense.
There you go.
The Super Bowl Ravens, the one that I went over with the four star players, Nada, Lewis, Suggs, and Reed, was 17th in the league. But that was in the regular season. Lewis only played 6 games in the regular season. Ray Lewis played the rest of the season, apparently, that year. And let's not kid ourselves. Ray Lewis, good player.
That was a pretty good offensive team, too. They had Ray Rice. They had some receivers.
They had Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin, both kind of in their prime.
They had Ray Rice. They had Pitta as a tight end, and the offensive line was stout.
With a Coleccio Simile and Marshall Yonda.
It was a good group, so that was a good team. I mean, that was one of those teams that you didn't necessarily – the defense didn't have to go in and do everything. They were able to do some on offense, too.
Well, I have to assume the offense is going to be better next year because, one, I don't know how it could be any worse. Two, the rookie receivers are a year older. And three, Terry Robiskie's out. There has to be some kind of procedural bump for Terry Robiskie not being the offensive coordinator. Like, they automatically have to be 5% better or 6% better or 10% better simply because Robiskie's not coaching them. I am holding to that hypothesis throughout the course of the season. So let's say the offense is 10%. What do you think's fair? The procedural Robiskie inflation adjustment, 5% better, 6% better.
You asking me?
Yeah.
No, 0% better.
Stop that. No. They will be better without Terry Robiskie. You do not fire all those coaches because Mike wouldn't fire Terry Robiskie unless you get much better without Terry Robiskie.
0.
That's
for me,
come on.
You can put it whatever you want. I mean, you're going to put whatever you want anyway.
I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to find out what the right number to put.
There is no number. No number is right. You have no idea.
It's got to be somewhere. It's got to be some number that's fair. Let's just say they're 5% better. Okay, if they're 5% better, how much better is the defense with the additions of Sue and Butler when all you lost was Williamson, who was a decent player at best?
I don't know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make the defense better?
Well, the defense...
Because of all the other stuff?
No, the defense will be better because you add Ndamukong Suh and Malcolm Butler to the mix.
Okay.
And those are two supposedly good players. Again, okay. I question how hard Suh works, but that's neither here nor there. They were the 13th ranked defense last year. The offense was terrible. If the offense is better because of the better offensive coaching, which all of you out there tell me that this coach is better than the last coach, if the offense is better and we give them that Robiskie procedural bump, to your point, it will make the defense better because the offense will be on the field longer. And thus, you could have a top five, top two defense next year.
Well, yeah, but the reason that the offense was on the field longer was because they ran the ball.
No, the offense wasn't on the field long enough because they stunk.
No, I'm saying over the last 2 years, mm-hmm. the only reason the offense was able to stay on the field was because they ran the ball. If they hadn't run the ball, a couple of those games, they'd had 15 minutes playtime. You know, and the opponents would have scored 60 points.
But this coach has come in and said he wants to run the ball. That was what Mike Vrabel said the day he got the job.
Right. That's what I heard. But I haven't seen anything yet.
Well, Deion Lewis almost ran for 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah, but he's not going to be – he is not going to come in and carry the ball, you know, 200 times.
No, but the big
dog's
got to
carry the ball. He's going to carry the ball, you know, I don't know what, 50, 60 times.
Let the big dog eat.
Yeah, and then you're up to him. So, you know, if your big dog eats, then they'll be able to run the ball. If he doesn't,
do you think the Titans have a top five defense in the NFL?
No.
If they get Ndamukong Suh?
No.
Then why are we wasting all of our time trying to get Ndamukong Suh?
Well, you were 13th. I mean, if you go to 8th, you might be. You just said that they won a Super Bowl at 17.
They did.
Well, we want to get as good as we can get on defense to try to win a Super Bowl. You don't have to be number one on defense to win a Super Bowl.
Okay, so
I think New England answers that every year.
Yeah, but you don't have New England's quarterback, so it's a little difficult. But you might have Baltimore's quarterback, who Dean Pease won a defense with. I know you got mad at me last week when I said this.
Okay.
So I should be very careful. But remember when they signed Malcolm Butler, and I told you what that signaled to me, right? It signaled that they're going for it when they signed Butler. And so now, if you sign Butler and you sign Sue, there's no way you're not going for it this year. If they sign Sue, and Sue is as good as you and everybody else tell me he is, then I think they've got a shot. Because they could have a top five defense, top two defense in the league.
Where do you get this stuff?
Look at all the good players.
Is this the shock stuff?
No. I'm not
Where
a shock
Where is
jock.
This?
Okay, is Sue a good player?
Yes.
Okay, is Casey a good player?
Yes.
Is Jackson a good player?
Who?
Jackson.
Yes.
Adoree.
Yes.
Is Ryan a good player?
Yeah.
Is Byard a good player?
Yeah.
Is Butler a good player?
Yeah.
Is Arakpo a good player?
So.
He's all right, yeah. That's a lot of good players on the defense now.
Well, yeah, but you still got less than Jacksonville and probably Houston.
Yeah, but Houston's defense, forget about them. JJ's never going to be the same. They can't keep
– They got three guys on their defense.
That they can't keep healthy.
That maybe you can't keep them healthy. And if they don't stay healthy, then that will be a plus for us. But if they are healthy, we don't have anybody like those three guys.
Again,
three guys.
Again, I'm going to need JJ to stay healthy, something he hasn't done in 3 years, before I can start saying that this defense is what they were. Jacksonville, I'll give you. But you got a better quarterback than Jacksonville. So I'm telling you, I think there's a chance if Sue's as good as all you say he is. Again, I still question his work ethic. We'll take your Titans calls. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Let's say they get Sue. How good are they? 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls until we talk to Crispy. Boy, we got a big day here, a big show. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game.
That's what's important about these meetings for him. They're not interviewing Ndamukong Suh. He's interviewing them. He's
More
trying to figure out, how will I be used? What do you see me contributing to your team? And that's from a locker room standpoint, but for him more so on the field, what will I do in the nickel package? Mm-hmm. You go with a guy like Aaron Donald, and when you get to four down linemen and five defensive backs, could you imagine figuring out who to double team out of those two guys? But you can't make him a two-gapper. You have to make him a guy who's going to attack and get after the quarterback and put pressure into his face. And the team that tells him you can do that best here and you can also win is the team that gets him, because that's how you keep him competitive. That's how you keep him motivated.
Ryan Clark on NFL Live. I actually think that's a pretty good point about how you keep Ndamukong Suh motivated, how you keep him ready to play. But if you're the Titans, I mean, don't you have to sell him on playing with Casey and that great secondary and you getting after the quarterback and having a shot at a Super Bowl?
Yeah, no, I think what you sell him on, I think Ryan was right. I think you sell him on where he's going to be used. I mean, I don't, there is, Now I'm acting like I know the kid. I don't really know the kid that well. I mean, he knows he's a player, and he knows he's a really good player. And so, you know, he doesn't need anybody to force feed him about what he can and can't do. I think he needs to see where he's going to be utilized so that he can understand that there's no misconceptions. You know, I'm not going to be a 3-4 nose tackle or a 3-4 defensive end. And I think that he wants to feel really, really comfortable with the coaching staff and with the locker room and with – I don't think he's enjoyed – since he left Detroit, especially in Miami, he didn't enjoy that Miami and the environment. And I think he wants to go someplace where he can enjoy himself, enjoy getting some wins, but more importantly, enjoy playing, enjoy the locker room, you know, take it back to where it was fun again.
Dean Pease, make it fun, baby.
Yeah, I think.
Football's fun. Zero fun, sir.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told about football.
I think that I think he wants to feel at home, you know, feel good about it. I think he's kind of felt alienated every play since he left Detroit.
That's because he doesn't play hard every play.
No, it's because he plays literally every play.
Well, he didn't need to stop doing that.
Well, guess what? If the coach doesn't let you come out, you got no choice. And if you're paying a guy $60 million, you want him in there every snap. That's their logic.
Oh, yeah, $50 million. $50 million. $60 million.
So, I mean, and the truth is, there's nobody, no defensive lineman, probably since Vandenbosch, can play like that every snap. They just can't do it. They're too big. They're too heavy. You know, there's too much ask of them. They're running too far. They're running too hard. It's really, really hard to do.
By the way, I have a headline for you, and then we'll get right to the calls. Eric Reed. So Eric Reed was the safety from the 49ers who was kind of doing the knee with Kaepernick the whole time.
Yeah.
Eric Reed has come out and said that now that he's a free agent, he is planning to not kneel during the national anthem. Eric Reed is currently a free agent who mocked the notion that I can be a great signing for your team for the cheap. Last week, he reiterated on Thursday that he's okay no matter what happens in free agency. However, he said, quote, I'm just going to consider different ways to be active, different ways to bring awareness to the issues this country, to the issues of this country to improve on, Reed said via NBC Sports Bay Area. I don't think it'll be in the form of protesting during the anthem. So.
Well, if he doesn't get signed, he'll have an opportunity to do all that.
You mean if he does get signed?
If he doesn't get signed, he can go and work on all his whatever it is he's talking about working on.
Yeah, but if he gets, but if he doesn't get signed, then he can't not kneel for the anthem because there's no anthem for him to stand for because he's not on the team.
No, but he can go and donate his time and money to whatever the causes are he's fighting for.
Do you think he'll do that?
Well, it sounds like it. He's been kneeling for a couple of years, so I'm assuming he's a committed guy.
Let's go to the phones. Mary is up next on the Titans. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Mary?
Hey, so I've got 2 points I want to make. I'm going to address Floyd and then you, Jared. So, GM, I agree with you that we're not really going to know if the offense is better or worse or the same or anything until we see them play a game. Like, until they're on the field playing a game, we're just not going to know. Ideally, they're better. On paper, they're better. But I agree with you that we really have no idea. And then Jared, there's something I've been wanting to say to you for a while, and it's you stink. Okay, thank you, bye.
Did she say I stink?
Thank you.
Is that what you said?
And that's from Jared, too.
I believe that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Because I kind of, like, tuned it out. But I was like, and then for Jared, and I was kind of like, I mean, honestly, I was kind of looking at my phone. She's like, Jared, you st-, and I was like, I think she said, I think she just said I stink.
What a great call.
I don't know. I took a shower. I use a Suave body wash and good shampoo.
Oh, shoot.
I don't think I stink. And I'm kind of disappointed that the caller does not recognize the procedural bump that I feel like we should grant the Titans offense in the year 2018 simply because Terry Robiskie is not there. Do you know what they say, addition by subtraction?
Uh-huh.
That's the procedural bump I'm talking about. No Robiskie means that they'll be better. Because you can't get much worse than Robiskie was calling those plays.
Robiskie called the same plays the year before when they were the best red zone offense in the NFL and Mariota was skyrocketing up. Same guy calling same plays.
Yeah, well, then you got to make adjustments better, Terry. I don't know what Robiskie did or what he did not do. I just know that he was
there's
bad.
There's truth there. Truth there.
I just know he stunk. By the way, Jokerit and CSKA are now in quadruple overtime. This kid's never going to come to Nashville. They're going to be playing. Like, this game will still be played by the time it's time for, like, the Predators to get in the playoffs. And they're like, when's Ellie Tolvanen going to play? Never. Why is Ellie Tolvanen never going to play? He's in his 843rd overtime in a row.
Sounds to me like he's not the scoring threat we want.
Are you blaming him for his team not winning?
I don't know.
Floyd Reese already doubting Ellie Tolvanen.
You're telling me he's a great scorer and they're in their fourth overtime.
Well, let me start by saying,
can't score.
I have no idea if he's a great scorer or not. In fact, I've watched him play like one game in the Olympics. But he did score. So I got that. Crispy is coming up next. We'll get all this sorted out with him. Terry Crisp is going to join us. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena where the Preds take on Toronto tonight. Do you think I should unveil my list coming up next?
Sure. Go for it.
Well, we'll do that too as well. It's Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from Bridgestone Arena, Crispy is with us. Terry Crisp, Preds analyst. So I have my list of the most indispensable players on the Nashville Predators, and I showed the like in order, like in terms of where they all go and where they all fit. And so, for example, I think we can all agree on number one on my list, and that's Pekka as the most indispensable, most valuable, most important player on the team. And Crispy, you didn't affect that one. You left him at number one, and it's good to see you. So you left him there, but the rest
you
of the
know
list.
What I'm thinking, don't you?
There you go.
What I'm thinking right now.
And the rest of the list, you didn't like the rest of the list very much.
I liked it. You know what though?
We'll get you a second. He did not. But and in fact, there's a lot of different little scribbles on my list, and I was actually kind of surprised by some of the changes he made. I'll just run through the top. I'll give him the top five, Floyd. I think that's what the people want to hear. The top five on the list right now, I got Pekka Rinne 1, P.K. Subban 2, Roman Josi 3, Ryan Johansson 4, and Matthias Ekholm is 5. So I have three of the four defensemen, and I've got Ryan Johansson along with the goalie. And those are the top five on the list. Then after that, I got Ryan Ellis 6, Philip Forsberg 7, Kyle Turris 8, Kevin Fiala 9, Austin Watson 10, Victor Arvidsson 11. I've got Cali Yarncroke 12th, and I've got Colton Sissons 13th, Nick Bonino 14th, and Craig Smith 15th. And I put this list out there, and I said, okay, this is the list I have. Now, I'm not knocking anybody here, and sometimes you know it's unfair to put these lists together, but Crispy looked at this list and took like one look and immediately had to take a pin out of his coat and had to start adjusting everything with that pin in that coat because you were not totally sold on my list.
Listen, I was trying to be nice to you. I was trying to be fair. I know you just come back from holidays. I know you're doing your best to fit in with the GM and whatnot. But whatever you were smoking down there, get rid of it. You know what I mean? I don't care. Throw it out the window. Whatever you were doing. How many games have you watched this year?
I've watched every game, including when I was on vacation.
Truly. Okay. You know why it's hard to go beyond? The top four, in my mind, are easy. That's a given almost to most people in their own minds. The rest, we have so much parity in this hockey club.
Yeah.
It's hard to take away from a Smitty, a Fiala versus an Arvidsson versus a Forsberg versus what Fisher brings to our team, what Hartnell, what Hartman. They're all different categories. But if you were putting them down the way that you'd get rid of them, trade them if somebody's asking you to trade, that's what I told you. Open that window again and throw it out. Get rid of
them. Well, like, see, there's a big difference between what you would trade and what you wouldn't. Because, for example, I've got Austin Watson 10th on this list. Ahead of a guy like Sissons, who can play multiple positions and is more of an offensive player than Watson and is a really good two-way player, because of what, for this team, Watson brings you on the penalty kill, what he brings you in his own end, what he brings you when it's 2-1 with a minute 10 to go and they call that timeout and you're like, who do you want out there on the ice to make sure you keep that lead? Watson is always one of those guys. So even though, you know, you could get a lot more in a trade for Sissons or Arvidsson or somebody like that, I don't want to take away from the value of a guy like Watson to this team.
See, what just happened there? What just happened just now? You showed passion for a player. You liked a player. That's why he's ahead of certain other players. Not necessarily because of talent or whatever. You thought with your brains instead of your seat for a change. What Watson brings to the friggin' team to us, what he brings to it. Well, I love him. You got to have him. I miss Cody McLeod. I'm so happy we picked up Hartnell and Hartman. I'm so happy we brought back Fisher. You and I think the same vein as to what you need. Our Forsbergs, our Fialas, our Arvies, Yossis, et cetera, go on down. They need protected. They got to have somebody. You watch that Winnipeg team in playoffs. You watch Anaheim roll over guys in playoffs. Dallas, they're going to come to war, and you better be prepared to go to war. And if you don't have some arsenal, you're out of the war pretty quick.
What you've seen Pekka and followed Pekka more than anybody I know. This year has been a special year for him. What has brought that? I mean, he's 35 years old. Where did that come from?
GM, I hear you listening on. I listen to you talk every time I get a chance to do it, and you're talking football teams, and you talk about players that get so close to winning it for a year, maybe 2 years, or right there, a game away, a series away. Don't get it done, and then for the next 8 years, nothing, and they retire, and they don't get what they've wanted. That Super Bowl or. Pekka-Rinne last year could taste that Stanley Cup, as could his teammates. He is playing his heart out right now to get back to that stage and to take it to the next step. Because as athletes, you start to realize in your mind, time is running out. Age is catching up to me. I can't be here forever. And before they start to dismantle a team you think you have a run with it with, let's get it done. And right now, Pekka-Rinne is in that mindset. He wants to take this team on his shoulders to that last step we were so close to last season.
How many years in your mind can he play like this?
You know what? Depending on his physical shape, he can play probably another 2-3 years. Wow. In my mind, easy. At this level. He can play another 5 years, but not at this level probably, because it catches up to you. All of it does, the wear and tear, especially that job, up and down, your knees, your hips, blah, blah. Plus, never mind 110-mile-an-hour, 100-mile-an-hour puck coming at you every night. The mental stress of it is there. But I've seen like Brodeur and Glenn Hall and a lot of the old-time goalies. But the secret, I guess, would be how many games would the backup goalie, Saros, whoever is their goalie here, would they play, and how many games would Pekka play? That would play a huge part in it also.
Terry Crisp is with us. Take us through this, like the last 2 weeks of the season. The Preds are in. They've clinched a playoff spot. Now they still have to take care of business in the Central Division and in the Western Conference, but that looks to be rounding into form as well. I mean, how do you manage this so that you keep guys rested, you keep shuffling guys in and out of the lineup, but you don't have the team take their intensity all the way down before they have to crank it all the way back up when the playoffs start?
You know what? That's a great question, and I can answer it with one word. I can hear the people out there just listening. They're leaning in their car towards the radio right now.
I know, we should take
just
a
turn.
Yeah,
it up.
Hey, the guy just made a left and he wanted to go right. He's listening. Laviolette. Laviolette is a master at what you just went through. He's a master at spacing out his players, knowing when to put them in, when to take them out, when to use his four lines, when to drop to three, and whatever. And coming down this stretch run right now, this is most important. Most of the coaches that are in the running right now, we have 10 games left. We have 9 of them against teams that have something to play for. We have only one team, I think it's Buffalo, that is obviously out of the running. Mm-hmm. The rest of them, they're either trying to climb higher in the ladder to get home ice advantage, or they're right on the bubble on the wild card to get in. All the other teams we're playing. So Coach Lav knows this, and he knows where Rene is going to play, where Saros is going to play, and he knows exactly what guys are coming in and out. Beteto, Irwin, Weber, go up to the forwards, whoever you want. He's already mapped that out. That's already in place.
How important is the President's Cup to you?
You know what? I won, coached 3 years in Calgary, won 2 President's Trophies, missed the third by 2 points, won a Stanley Cup, and you know the one that is the biggest and got it? The Stanley Cup. I mean, nobody cares if you... You care. You know why you care as a coach and as a team? Because you go 82 games, and you're pounding, and you're breaking your bones to get there. And it's a nice compliment.
Yeah.
It's a compliment to you as a team, because you were the best over 82 games. You proved it over the long haul, you can do it. Having said that, you hit playoffs and you come up short. It's like dagger. Didn't get the job done.
Yeah, it'd be meaningless.
Nice trophy. Didn't get the job done.
Well, I mean, I think it's probably similar when you were GM in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
same exact thing.
Best record, home field throughout the playoffs, and then you lose in the conference title game, and it's like, well, you know, you didn't get to the Super Bowl, you didn't win the Super Bowl, and even though sometimes it's not fair, that's what these things are all about. Terry Crisp is with us from Fox Sports Tennessee. I put up yesterday 7 like concerns.
You got another list?
Oh, I got lists on lists on lists.
You have much too time in Florida.
I've got
way too much time on your hands.
I got.
I can see you at the pool with a beer in one hand, a pen in the other. And you're just saying, Crispy's going to hate this.
And if, hey, you know the list when I don't have the beers in my hand. Imagine what the list looks like when I do have the beers in my hand. But I had like 7 concerns. So like injuries in the playoffs are a concern to me because they're going to happen and who knows. But I had 7 reasons for optimism. Depth, goalie, coaching, home ice, experience, and then the other 2, which are not as important as those 5. So depth, goalie, coaching, home ice, and experience. Which one of those is most important to you?
Goalie. Number 1, right on the top of my list. GM goes for quarterbacks, I go for goalies. Everywhere I've ever been. I played in St. Louis. We went to the Stanley Cup Finals 3 years there out of my 5 that we were there. Stanley Cup Finals. Why? Because we had Glenn Hall and Jacques Plante, 2 best goaltenders in the business at that given time. Mm. That's why we went. Because other teams were as good as us. Their goaltending wasn't. I went to Philadelphia. We won 2 Stanley Cups in a row. Went for the 3rd and missed it because Montreal beat us in the finals. And you know why we did? Because Bernie Parent was the best goaltender at that given time and space in an era. That's the time. That's why you go with your goalie. And you know what, though? Here's a funny thing. A team can win it with a goalie. And a goalie might only have it 1 year. And disappears. Never had it before, doesn't have it again, but for that 1 year, this no-name goaltender came out of nowhere, took them to the promised land.
Magic.
You've seen it happen. And the other one I like, though, and this is paramount, depth. You had him right there once. I just flipped them on you.
Mm-hmm.
Flip up. But depth is so important.
Well, and coaching, too. We talk about this all the time. I mean, I feel like every series you're in, you're going to have the better coach. I thought that helped last year against St. Louis. I thought Peter's a much better coach than Mike Yeo.
Peter's been there. He's got a Stanley Cup. He knew what it took to go through. He knew what he had and what he had to do. Of course, you coach according to your team, what you're doing. But I watched Peter over the couple of years here. And just when you think this team is going to take a little dip, he lets them dip for a bit, then he just yanks the rein. Boom, up they come and away they go again. He just has that knack.
He's got to give him great confidence because, I mean, when I just listen to him, he gives me confidence.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's running around giving you big hugs and patting you on the back.
Nope.
It's just his approach and the way he says it. He go, yeah, okay, we're going to be all right.
And you watch the players in practice. You watch them coming out of practice or out of the dressing room or in the dressing room when they're around. They're all happy. They're all, like, I know you have disgruntled players on teams. Let's be honest about that. And it's a utopia in that dressing room. Yeah. And there's a lot of them that aren't happy. But I've never sensed that here. I've sent some guys here, I like a little more ice time, when I talk to the coach, but never, like I played on teams where guys were just complete, you know what, because, well, I'm not getting enough ice time, I want traded, I want out here, I want more money, blah, blah. No, that's not going to happen as long as Laviolette's pulling the reins.
Crispy, I want to tell the people about the big jump that you put in my list. In my list, I have Ryan Ellis at 6. You jumped him way up. You jumped him way up on the list.
Hey, I don't know.
You jump, and it's not that I don't like Ryan Ellis. The guys I had ahead of him, Ekholm, Johansson, Yossi, Subban, and Pekarinen, you jumped Ellis way up on the list. Why? Why, when you looked at that, was that the first thing you said was you looked at me, told me that I was on drugs, and then jumped
I did
all
not
the
say
way.
That. I said, open the window.
That didn't what I said.
Ellis, to me, and you've heard me say this before with you and the GM, Ellis is the quarterback. Pekarinen is the mainstay. Ellis is the quarterback. When he was injured, this team didn't have the same vibes, the same jump, the same power pits there. And throw all the stats you want at me, I don't care. But as a coach, it's my feeling. And when I see Ellis in our lineup, I'm fine. I'm good. It's okay. And you see a Yossi, I get the similar feeling with him and a Necky. So we're fortunate here. But to me, Ellis, and I walk in the dressing room and I watch him. And if you watch him, his demeanor, he's all business. The guys all ask him questions. He's the one that they sort of lean towards and know that he. And when he's on the ice, I have a sense of calm. I do. So that's why I love Ellis.
Is he? He's obviously intelligent. Is that instincts or just knowledge?
That's both. That's both instinct. That's like Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky had instinct and knowledge, as did Lemieux, as did all the greats. You can name almost every great football player you've met or coached or had. They have both.
Yeah.
First off, they got the God-given skill. If you don't have the God-given skill, it ain't going to happen. But then if you have that along with instinct and training, you train and train and train those instincts and those skills. What a great combination. Mm. What a beautiful combination. Yeah.
Crispy, we've been following the developing story that is the longest game now in KHL history. Jokrit versus, what is it, KCSA or whatever it may be. If they beat Jokrit, then Eli Tolvanen will be able to come here. But now that game has gone into, what is it, quintuple?
I don't know.
Overtime?
It's about five or six.
Does the winner move on?
No, Jokrit loses, though, if they're it's,
yeah,
they're
so
down
3-1. A must-win
yes.
for them. So what you're going to say is Tolvanen, is he going to make a difference when he comes over?
Well, I'm not going to ask you.
Cause yeah, you were leaning right
no,
there.
No, I was not.
You were leaning in your chair like this.
I was just letting the people know that we told them at the beginning of the
okay.
of the show, we'll keep them updated because it was going to overtime. It's still going on. So we're still going to keep
that's
you updated.
That's why you and the GM are good.
We
yeah.
just don't know. Crispy, they will have an answer by the time you take to the pregame show tonight. My guess
I'll
is it may be a Crispy, what do you think moment. So at least be thinking about that. You could say, Jared Stillman, help me get yeah. ready for that.
I will if Jared Stillman promises me no more stupid lists.
Oh, I got lists. I got more lists coming
got lists.
To you.
And
he's got lists.
Good night, folks.
Crispy, good to see you as always.
Thanks,
Jerry Crisp. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We promise to keep you up to date on the developing story that is the KHL Russian playoff between CSKA Moscow and Jokrit. Jokrit has Eli Tolvanen on their team. A loss for Jokrit will end the season and will allow Eli Tolvanen to come over here. Ian Safar is in the newsroom with the latest. Ian, what do we have?
Well, we thought Moscow may have won it in the fourth overtime. However, after review, it has been determined no goal, play on.
Which you said was probably not going to happen because isn't the team that Jokrit's playing Putin's team?
Something like that, yes. It's complicated, but to a degree, that is correct.
So you're playing against Putin's team, and you win a review. Must have been just unbelievable goalie interference on that play or something like that.
You don't. I'm going to guess you don't want to win this game.
You don't want to beat Putin's team?
No.
Hey, if I lose, I get to go join the NHL team and start getting paid NHL dollars. If I win, I beat Putin's team
shot.
In Russia, and I wasn't going to go that far. But, yes, I think there's probably some truth to that. It is the longest game in KHL history, and once again, it continues to play on. And we will once again keep you up to date on that developing story. Floyd, I felt good about my list that I have in front of me. I ranked the 15th most indispensable Predators. And then Crispy basically tore my list to shreds, and now I don't feel so good about it.
What's that tell you?
Well, it number one tells me that I clearly, there are two players on the list that I think Crispy points out that he thinks I'm undervaluing. Ryan Ellis 1, who I have at 6th on the list, and Victor Arvidsson 2, who I have at 11th on the list. Now, again, people are going to say, well, I have Arvidsson 11th, so I must hate Arvidsson, and that's not
true. You don't
like
Arvidsson.
I love Arvidsson.
You haven't liked him all day.
But how can you tell me that Arvidsson is more valuable to this team than Kyle Turris? I just don't see it. Or more valuable than Matthias Ekholm. I just can't see it. I mean, I feel pretty strongly about this list. Like, you know, I've got P.K. Subban number 2. Everybody in the entire world would agree with number 1, right?
Yeah, Pekka.
Pekka Rinne number 1.
Yeah.
I've got P.K. Subban 2. Now, you could put Yossi 2. You could put – I have Subban 2 because I thought last year in the playoffs, I thought he was the best defenseman they had. They ran him out there when it was Jonathan Toews' line. They ran him out there when it was Tarasenko. They ran him out there when it was Sidney Crosby. And so I just use that to say he last year stepped up as the top defenseman on the top pair in the playoffs last season. And that's not to take anything away from anybody else. But if you want to put Yossi up there ahead of Subban, I'm okay with that. But to have Ryan Ellis all the way up there in front of Subban, for Crispy to put Ellis towards the top of this list, that speaks to probably something that we maybe don't see on an everyday basis with Ryan Ellis.
Well, I guarantee you. I mean, you heard him talk. Everything he talked about had nothing to do with shots or defense or anything on the ice. It was all the other stuff. And I think guys like that are hard to find. And when you get one, you'll hang on to him longer than you'll hang on to a really good player simply because he'll take care of the really good player.
Now, tomorrow we will announce the full list, and we will discuss the full list again tomorrow here on the show.
Are we going to get Crispy on?
Well, we already had Crispy's take on the list. He thinks it's not very good.
So which list are we going to do?
We're going to do this list.
Your list or the real list?
Well, we can't do his list because he's not going to rank the players. I'm even a little uncomfortable talking about where he arrowed some of these guys in front of other guys. Because you know what? Because it's not a fair position to put Crispy in, where all of a sudden Crispy goes down to the locker room and someone says, so what, I'm not as good as so-and-so? You know, Crispy didn't come on the show to be ranking the players. It's just I happen to rank the players, and then that's where Crispy kind of...
So I guess I'm curious as to how strongly you're going to support your list, because I'm sitting here with you looking at all the ink marks all over it.
The Crispy ink marks or my ink marks?
Crispy ink marks. And I would say if you're going to show up with your list, we may want to use a very short segment for that because we know what this list is going to look like.
Okay, how about this? I will give out Ryan's email address on the air? I don't want to give out my own email address, but I'd like to give out Ryan's.
Oh, I'm sure he appreciates that.
People email Ryan their list of 15 indispensable predators. But we will go over this list tomorrow. But now, Floyd, it is time for Ask the GM. And yes, hockey questions are on the list as well. Hockey, football, basketball, baseball, and apparently now KHL playoffs. Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville, and the best question and or comment for the GM and Ask the GM will receive, is it a pair of tickets, Ian?
To the Nashville SC suite?
Yes, sir.
That is correct.
And it's for Saturday's game, right?
Correct.
Okay, Saturday's Nashville SC game at Nissan Stadium in a suite. Best question for the GM. Load up those phones. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Pella Windows of Nashville is the presenting sponsor of Ask the GM. And we will get to those. Plus, again, we will keep you up to date on our developing story, and that is Jokerit and CSKA Moscow are in their, what is it, fifth overtime or fourth overtime?
Fourth, I think.
Fourth overtime. They're still tied at 1. Eli Tolvanen, with a loss, would be able to come play for the Predators. Ask the GM is next. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.